WNBF. This is Bob Joseph live on News Radio WNBF. Coming up later this hour on Binghamton Now, we'll be taking more of your phone calls. So if you have things you'd like to talk about, be prepared. We'll let you know when it's time to call and discuss the issues important to you. Now we're going to talk about open government in New York. We're joined by Paul Wolf, is the president of the New York Coalition for Open Government, who joins us now from Amherst. Good morning.
Good morning.
The New York Coalition for Open Government. Wow, I like the concept. I've lived in New York all my life, and I have to admit, a lot of times I have seen all levels of government do just the opposite. It seems like government, if left to its own devices, would keep everything secret.
It is a continuing problem, and I think there is a need for our group. And our group is continuing to grow. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that advocates for transparency in government. And we are busy frequently addressing these issues.
It seems simple enough. I'm looking at the website, the statement of purpose: government exists to serve its citizens, so access to public information should be simple. I think that's simple enough, and you would think, whether it's local governments or state governments, various offices, or the executive chamber or the legislature, whatever, or even the federal government, you would think these people would understand that we pay our hard-earned taxes for them to work on our behalf, and then, unless there are extenuating circumstances, almost everything they do ought to be available to the people they work for.
Absolutely. We agree with you 100%. Unfortunately, there seems to be a culture of secrecy in government, and it's pretty amazing that it is at all levels. I don't know what happens to people when they get into elected office, but people are frequently thin-skinned and don't like criticism, so there's this resistance to provide information. And, you know, the law requires that we all have a right to access this information.
It's human nature not to like criticism. That part I understand. But I also believe that if anybody chooses to go into government, whether it's for an elective office or if they're serving on commissions or committees or city councils or whatever, if you go into government, you should go in with your eyes wide open and understand that because of the nature of the work and because it's so important to the people, that of course you're going to be subject to review and perhaps occasional criticism. I'm surprised that people get upset when citizens offer their perspective. Sometimes it's positive, but frequently it is negative because everybody typically has their own idea about how things should be done.
Yeah, that's true. It seems to be that, you know, when people get in office, they, you know, they want to stay in office. They seem to like it, and they do their best to tamp down any criticism or access to information that will get in the way to their reelection. So it's a constant battle. We have, you know, laws in New York, but a big problem is the laws just aren't really enforced other than you filing your own lawsuit, which is not an easy thing to do.
The word transparency seems to be bandied about a lot of times by elected officials and others in government. And typically, when I hear somebody in government use the word transparency, I get worried because it, to me, just based on years of experience as a journalist, that means there's something they're going to try to conceal. And maybe a lot of things, even though they talk about being transparent, sometimes running the most transparent government in the history of the world. Based on my experience over the years, sometimes it turns out to be the exact opposite.
Well, you have good reason to be nervous, and I share that as well. It seems time after time you know, elected officials promise they're going to run the most transparent administration ever. And the words just aren't backed up by the deeds. So there, one of the problems is there's no one really monitoring compliance with the law. Our group is really the only group that I know of that will check and do reports. We'll check to see, are people posting meeting documents online as required by law? You know, we'll send out FOIL requests, Freedom of Information Law requests, and track whether they're responding as required by law. And there's no other entity doing this. There's no consequences for not complying with the law other than maybe an embarrassing news article for a day. So it is a continuing battle, but we are shining lights on issues all across the state.
Even at some public meetings, whether it's in the Binghamton area or elsewhere in New York State, sometimes you get the impression from the people running the meeting that they view citizens and sometimes even journalists as annoyances, not something that is part of the process of governing and informing people. Sometimes it seems like they go out of their way to make the average citizen, in some cases, reporters, especially younger reporters who may not know their rights at what is supposed to be an open government meeting, they try to just make things seem so uncomfortable and even at times abusive.
It's true. I am shocked at how unfriendly many elected officials are, how often emails that I send are ignored. Or when we go to speak at meetings, the disdain that we're treated with frequently, it really is a problem. There just seems to be this arrogance amongst those in elected office, even at the lowest levels. I don't know. It's really, I have experienced all those things that you just described, and many others in our group have as well.
So what's the solution? What can the average New Yorker do to convince or cajole those in positions of power of showing more respect for the people they're working for? Is there any hope?
I think there is hope. I think we have to work together. I think the power of social media, you know, sharing things on Facebook and Twitter, which is, you know, how you, I believe, learned about our organization. All those things, I think, help make a difference. People need to understand that they are not alone in feeling this way or not alone in their interest for open government. There are like-minded individuals out there. And by joining forces, I encourage people to check out our website, which is nyopengov.org, and get on our email list and be a part of the a joint effort to change things.
With the system that's in place in New York and some other states where citizens and journalists are able to file requests, Freedom of Information requests, sometimes, depending on the nature of the request, there'll be a quick response. And sometimes, if it's fairly simple, the information will be forthcoming quickly. And sometimes, it's just the exact opposite. I'm familiar with people who've been reporting in New York State and have put in a number of Freedom of Information requests over the years. And there always seems to be some reason either to slow walk the handling of these requests, or eventually when some information is released, virtually all the information that is potentially the most relevant has been redacted. So you might wind up with a big pile of papers with a lot of black spots and very little information to go on.
That happens far too often. I've certainly experienced that in my own FOIL request, and I'm aware of many others who have encountered this. One of the things we're working on is changing the laws in New York. The law, people think, you know, New York is the leader in so many things. Well, they're certainly not the leader in open government. And there are many states that have stronger and better laws than we have in New York. So one of the things that we're working on is reforming our laws. We have a couple bills that have been introduced in the state legislature recently, and we're going to be certainly lobbying and putting pressure on them to get those laws passed. We need stronger laws, we need better enforcement of the law, and we need penalties for those that violate the law.
Our guest is Paul Wolf, president of the New York Coalition for Open Government. One thing we saw during COVID is government entities were able to figure out how to live stream many of their meetings when public attendance was not allowed. It wasn't necessarily a great solution, but at least people were able to see a lot of meetings in progress via Zoom or other platforms. Now that we've emerged from COVID, it seems that a lot of government entities don't want to have much to do at all with streaming their meetings. They schedule their meetings sometimes at, during the afternoon or at times that are really inconvenient for the average constituent. It almost seems as though they're trying to take every step possible to ensure that as few people as possible see what they're up to. They won't live stream meetings. They won't archive meetings. They are very slow at posting agendas and even sometimes posting the minutes of meetings. It seems almost like a conspiracy to withhold information that ought to belong to the people.
You make some great points there. And, you know, one of the best things, there weren't many good things that happened during COVID, but one of the best things that did happen was government meetings being live streamed. And it was really interesting to see how many people watched those meetings. The statistics showed that people do care about what's happening in their community. But if you make it easy for them to observe and participate, they are interested. People, as you say, can't go to a meeting, you know, at 2 o'clock in the middle of the day or even in the evening sometimes with work and family commitments. And government officials showed that it's not that hard to live stream a meeting and make a recording and post it online. And that's something that should be mandatory. It's not mandatory in New York. It is in a couple other states. And that's one of the pieces of legislation that we're working to get passed is it should be mandatory that all meetings be live streamed and posted online for people to see what's happening in their community.
One of the things that puzzles me when I look at what some governments do, some in New York State and some elsewhere in the U.S., as far as doing very nice work at streaming meetings and archiving meetings and making a lot of critical information easily accessible, seems to me that the technology exists, and in many of these cases, that it's not that expensive. But some of the people around here insist, well, maybe it would cost too much, or maybe we just can't figure it out. And I often wonder when I hear that excuse, maybe that would be true, say, if it was 20 years ago, but there have been great strides in terms of overall software and ways of doing these things, whether it's YouTube or using other platforms, that the actual cost involved and the equipment is really not that expensive and not that difficult for people to learn how to use.
I agree with you. We are aware of local governments with a population of 500 people that are live streaming their meetings. Somehow, you know, with not a huge budget, they have figured out how to do it. It's not as hard as some government officials make it out to be, nor is it as expensive. I've seen meetings effectively live streamed with just an iPad and an iPhone, and it works. It can be done. It's not as hard as they make it out to be. It's just a matter of whether you have the desire to do it or not.
As you know, right now, and I think across New York government, it's sort of almost a given, whether it's state government or local governments, there's a de facto gag order on employees. People are afraid typically to talk to reporters. Didn't used to be this way. It used to be with local officials or department heads or even with state agencies. You could call a regional representative and they would pick up the phone and they would answer your questions without fear of retribution, without fear of losing their jobs. Well, right now, that situation has changed completely. It seems that unless something is approved by the top-level person in a government, whether it's a mayor or a county executive or the governor, that people are really afraid to ever be caught speaking with reporters. What do you think about that?
That is something that I have seen that has gotten worse over the past few years. And it's even gotten to elected officials, which is amazing to me. Many school boards have a policy that only the school board president can speak on behalf of the school board to the media, which to me is ludicrous. You get elected to a public office, you have a right to speak. You have a First Amendment right to speak. And school boards and others are even going so far as to try to impose gag orders on elected officials. I've seen elected officials signing non-disclosure agreements up in Buffalo when they were negotiating $1 billion for a Bills stadium. They made elected officials sign a non-disclosure agreement that they would not disclose information which was provided to them, which is just insane to me that you as an elected official would agree to that or sign that. You have every right to speak. So it is a continuing battle, and it's something that we just have to keep drawing attention to and hopefully, you know, embarrassing people into doing the right thing and sometimes suing people to do the right thing.
If people want more information about the New York Coalition for Open Government or if they'd like to get involved, what can they do?
I appreciate that. You can go to our website at NY for New York, OpenGov, just short for government, nyopengov.org. And you can get on our email list, send an email to me as the president. And we're always available to help give opinions to reporters or members of the public. We get contacted frequently saying, hey, this is what happened at a meeting. What do you think? Is this legal or not? So we're always happy to help any way that we can, and we welcome new people to join us.
Paul Wolf, president of the New York Coalition for Open Government, thanks for being with us this morning on WNBF.
Thanks for inviting me.